Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Space Trash, Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. I am your host de facto for the day, Sarah Armour. Molly is vacationing in España and also doesn't watch the Bachelor franchise. She's not a part of Bachelor Nation. So we have her sister. You know her, you love her. She is the debunker of DePod. Casey, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. As always, almost paradise, baby. And the storms are coming this week.
The storm came and it honestly was not as bad as the weatherman made it seem.
It came and it went. And by weatherman, do you mean the producers giving us the previews for this? It was like Colton jumping the fence, like all season. It's like those storms coming, the storms coming. They gave it about 2 minutes and not much to be said about that.
Previews of from last week were like, you'll never guess what happens next. And then it's like, everybody has to evacuate the island. And so basically they just wasted our time with like seeing them pack up. I guess it was sort of interesting to see the little bunk rooms.
That was interesting. And also I liked seeing all of them be like genuinely scared that like the other person was going to forget about them the second that they left the island.
I know.
Because it's like, you're supposed to be in love, falling in love with each other. And they were all like very, very nervous that these relationships were just going to like dissolve into thin air. So it was beautiful, beautiful to uphold. But
so nice to see people when they're panicked.
It really is. But I'm glad that they all made it back because, you know, we need some resolution here.
I was happy to see the passion between Joe and Serena pre-evacuation. Like they were finally really making out.
Yes. And Kendall was just sitting there watching.
That is tough stuff for Kenny. They are really like Joe and Serena and then Kendall as the antagonist. Like Joe and Serena have really been the protagonists of this season. And yep. Kendall is sort of the antagonist of the season. And so their charts are particularly interesting to me. I guess the place to begin would be grocery store Joe, because he is the sort of leader of the pack here, right?
He is like the true protagonist. And it is wild when you think about just him and Kendall coming back to Bachelor in Paradise. Like, actually, if that was me and my ex and that's where we met, like, I would be so embarrassed that we both like gave it another shot. Sorry, I love it for the sake of the show, but
No. If they got back together on Bachelor in Paradise, it would just be like too toxic relationship for reality TV. Like, honestly, we would rather see Sammy. What was it on Jersey Shore?
Sammy Sweetheart and Ron.
Sammy and Ron. I would rather see them continue to fist fight than see a couple actually try round two on Bachelor in Paradise. But yeah. I like Kendall for trying. I like her for trying. I like her for taking the paycheck. I like that conversation that they had where she was like, you know, he's like, honestly, why did you come back here? And she's like, to make it work with you. And she's like, why did you come back here? And he's like, because I realized I'm over you. And it was like, whoa, real moment.
Oh my God. I was so glad that he like fessed up and was real in that moment. Cause so many times we watch them on the show, just be like, because I want you. And they just change their tune for the people in front of them. Because I guess everyone's a freaking Gemini, as we found out last week.
We are Geminis, but that's why we're literally talking about it after the 2 hour Nothing That Happened show.
Yeah. And that's why we're being two-faced towards other Geminis, because we're part Gemini. I mean, it all just comes with the territory. I could go on the ins and outs about him and Kendall, but we'll get to it as we go.
And also I'm curious because like I did not see them fall in love. As you know, I'm new to Bachelor. So I'm curious about like their story. And I also want to say in terms of natural beauty, she is so fucking beautiful.
Facts.
Really like looks great. It doesn't look like she's wearing a lot of makeup. She's crushing. So I want to say, Kendall, even though you are so vulnerable on screen, I think you're teed up to find someone who's going to fall right in love with you right away.
agreed with that, but I also don't think she's that vulnerable on screen. Like, wow. I think like she's like, Joe, I need to talk to you. And then she just kind of like sits there and he's like, well, so how do you feel? Like, what do you want me to say? Like, he's still kind of the one that has to like say it. And then like, I don't know. I feel like she's,
I mean,
like,
I feel like the most vulnerable thing that she said was like, we didn't break up that long ago. So I'm not really over it. It was a year and a half.
Yeah. But so. She still like just wants to lead him there more than she wants to say, I took the risk. I came here for you. Let's go out together. Like, she didn't say that in the beginning when she came, and she still didn't really say it now. And I'm like, you either want the man or you don't. And I think deep down she knew, like, crap, I still don't want to move to Chicago.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, I do think, and again, we'll get to it later, everybody hold on to your panties. At the end of the day, there is hypocrisy in the anti Brendan Piper, you know, crusade going on, because everyone is there for followers. It does help Kendall's stock if she's there. So it's like, yeah, it's vulnerable, but it's also probably leaving you in a better position either way.
Yep. Usually it does.
And I look, and we're talking about like, what did she lead with? If I remember correctly, she led with, hey, butthead.
She did lead with, hey, butthead. And I'm interested in how Hey Butthead factors into this chart, because I do feel like he and Kendall and he and Serena have a similar, like, almost brother sister relationship with the Hey Butthead kind of like, I want to put you down.
I'm going to hijack the pod that we are already hijacking. Before I get into the charts, could you tell me, as a longtime viewer, what the relationship with Kendall was like? Like, how are the relationships different? How are they similar? Like, what is the difference between these two love stories?
I think they're pretty similar, because Kendall is still a bit younger than Joe. So it was, this was only like 2-3 years ago that they got together on the beach and they were into each other. And then this guy came on, Leo, I think. Was his name Leo, or was he just such a Leo? I don't know. I think his name was Leo, but he had this big mane of curly hair. He looked like a glam rock 80s. He looked like a Leo, like the poster child. And he came on the beach, and Kendall
for her. Let's call her Kenny. Like, taking back the name Kenny. Kenny's not Kenny anymore. Sorry, well, Jenner. We're back to Kenny.
And she has a twin sister named Kylie, but that's neither here nor there.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I swear it.
Okay.
This is how deep my knowledge goes. Wow. Okay.
We're going to have to dig into that later, but what an unbelievable synchronicity.
I know. And so, so then this guy came on the beach. He stole Kendall, took her on a date. She was making out with him like crazy, not unlike Serena and Thomas, but Serena was a little bit smarter and just went for the makeout and then said, no, I like Joe better. And it's like, well, you did have a pretty steamy makeout with that other guy. But anyway, we'll all just pretend that that didn't happen. Joe was very upset with Kendall, but then eventually they worked it out. But for me, I never really bought their relationship after that. I think she just knew that she looked bad because Joe's such the nice guy. So she went back with Joe.
Whoa.
Hot take. That is just my intuition. No, you know, no facts. I wasn't
there. He is the debunker. You are out here debunking what the nation has originally believed.
What can I say, people?
Ooh. Ooh. Gemini heat coming at you.
So yeah, from my perspective, it didn't seem like Kendall was ever as into it as he was. And the fact that she wouldn't move for him kind of solidifies that a little bit. I mean, you can't keep begging this guy to get back together with you when, like, he moved for you for a couple of years and you wouldn't move for him. So,
and wait, I don't remember. I feel like they did talk about it on the season, but didn't she say during this season, like, I still wouldn't move to Chicago?
I think so.
It was something like that. Like, they did talk about it and it didn't seem like there was any, like, grand gesture or like big resolution. She was just like, we would have worked through it. And it's like, what do you mean having two homes where you don't go to one of them? I don't know. I don't know what you mean.
Or like, you would have just convinced him eventually that he needed to live in LA. And that was that. Like, and right. I mean, LA is definitely a beautiful place to live. I would assume. I've never been, but you know,
Joe's so granola though. He's so crunchy. I think he would be eaten alive in LA.
That's also true. But then I think here he is on Paradise twice now. He did Dancing with the Stars, which I actually didn't know because I just started watching. He did.
Wow. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. And he got pretty far. So deep down, I mean, if this guy's got a Leo moon, I don't know, or a midheaven or something. I don't know. But he did do Dancing with the Stars. So part of me is like, you kind of love the limelight. You're doing the grocery store thing, but you kissed those grocery store days goodbye a long time ago, Joe.
100%. Okay, well, so this is really interesting. So now, okay, but just for anybody that doesn't watch or that wants to read, so how does that compare to the relationship with Serena, in your opinion?
I mean, it just looks very similar, like just kind of, I haven't seen like a character evolution from him that much on my screen.
Yeah.
This is a character, he's on TV. This, I don't know him as a person, but it just seems like
all this is alleged. Molly told me
to say alleged.
Allegedly based on our opinions of watching this highly edited reality TV show.
Yes, spending many hours of my life watching it. But Serena and Joe have the similar banter of like joking around and insulting each other rather than just being like Marissa Riley, like you're so hot, yada, yada, yada.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because in my opinion, like, I mean, he came into this season being like, the only one I'm interested in is Serena, which shocked me. And then right. It worked out, right? She went on the date with Thomas. You got to get a makeout in. Why not? But ultimately, she picked Joe. And then, you know, they had that weird conversation when Kendall returned. The butthead is back. And he was like, I think I'm going to stick with you, but you never know with that butthead, right? And it was a little bit like,
yeah,
hard, not a great talk, but okay. And then they had the big I love you moment where it was like, I'm falling in love with you.
Oh my God. I can't with the falling in love also.
And it's also like this whole episode too, like even when they checked in after like Kendall left or whatever, they were like, are you still falling in love with me? Are you still buying it? And it was a little bit like, come on, where's the Pete? Where's the passion?
It's a little like surface level. It's a little like, let's just keep it copacetic so we can get through this and both come out looking good. But really like, you know, let's go deep. Let's talk about our feelings. Like but they really don't that much.
And well, maybe and it really is like
have the deepest of feelings. If there's a lack of water in these charts, I'd be interested.
Ooh, well, you are going to love this chart analysis.
All right. Break it down. Come on.
Okay. So let's start with G store J, grocery store Joe. Okay. He is a Scorpio sun, also has his, you know, Mercury and his Pluto in Scorpio. So this guy has a lot of Scorpio in his chart. His moon is in Virgo. This is why we see him as highly congenial. This is why he's that quote unquote good guy. This is that one episode. This is why we saw him when Serena did go on that date, why he was like writhing away on the bed, unable to process and doing nothing but like arm curls, because he is a Virgo moon. So Virgo moons are perfectionists. They're sort of craftspeople. Virgos care a lot about things being like the right way, care about things being functional. Like for Joe, it was a hard no. When Kendall said, no, I'm not moving for you, he was like, well, then this will never work. Virgos are very final in their thinking. They're very functional in their thinking. So, you know, the sun sign is always like what is radiating, but the moon sign is really who someone is, right? So at the end of the day, Joe is highly perfectionistic. He cares a lot about his own Virgo routines. He wants to be in Chicago. He wants to be living the life that he is comfortable living because he has this like big Scorpio stellium, which means on the one hand, he cares a lot about power. He cares a lot about sort of controlling other people, being highly enmeshed with others. But Scorpio sun, Scorpio Mercury, Scorpio Pluto, it's why he's not like super expressive, at least while the cameras are rolling.
Right.
Right. Like he actually is, you know, a very, I do think he has passion in him. Okay. But I think that like, no, why every season does he like have the one girl that he likes? Because this is a Scorpio sun, Virgo moon. So he is intense. He's brooding. He's passionate. But it also requires a certain level of perfection.
He's a one-woman man.
He's a one-woman man.
Both seasons, he was just like, I got her. I'm done. That's it. She's the one. Oh, crap. She's talking to someone else. Well, I'm still not going to go, like, get my revenge or whatever. I'm just, right. I'm here. I'm stuck right. with this girl.
Right. Now, let's take a look at our loser, Kendall. Now, this is very interesting. So, Kendall is a Leo sun with a 0 degree. So almost Scorpio, but no, 0 degree Sagittarius moon. Really what you're seeing is Joe is that water earth, which do really meld well together, right? Like how do you build pueblos with the water and the earth, right? Like how do you make mud? You can actually manifest with water and earth. And these are both very feminine signs, right? Kendall coming in hot with her Leo sun. She has a Leo sun. She has a, now she does have like a Virgo Mercury. She does have a Virgo Venus, you know, so she sort of not tricked him, but like she talks like a Virgo. She sort of, you know, she sort of loves like a Virgo. She also has her Mars exactly conjunct, meaning in the exact same place as his moon, which is why on the one hand, they were down to fuck. Like there's a lot of passion when you have moon Mars conjunctions, but at the end of the day, it's ultimately why they fought. And it's ultimately why this didn't end in a harmonious way. I mean, Mars is action, aggression, fight. And the moon is like your deepest inner self. So he actually did feel genuinely conflicted when she showed up. And there was a lot of, actually, they have a lot of passion between them. But at the end of the day, you know, fire and water cannot really exist well together. And fire burns the earth, right? So you know, he doesn't have much air in his chart. We don't know any of their risings. We don't have birth times. But like just in terms of sun and moon compatibility, which are like kind of the first places that you would look, it's like at the end of the day, she has a lot of fire. She has a lot of passion. He was very attracted to her. But, you know, he was annoyed that she was not more interested long term in functionally making it work. He has his Saturn at early degree Sag. So again, this is a difficult connection. Her inner self, her, you know, she really wants to, you know, have an adventure. And, you know, of course, like, of course, a Sagittarius moon would prefer to be on the coast, having like sort of a glamorous, luxurious experience. Also, all that Leo, like she has her Leo sun conjunct her Jupiter. So she's a big Leo. So the more attention she gets, the more spotlight they get, the more skin she's showing, the more alive she feels, right? So right. For her being in sunny Cali, where she can be half naked and stared at and recognized, really appeals to her. Mm-hmm. Her moon is close to and in the same sign as his Saturn. Saturn is hard. Saturn is difficult. Saturn makes things serious. There's lessons involved. So he kind of puts a kibosh on her fun, aka move to Chicago or it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's like sort of what happened there. But now let's take a look at our friend Sariri.
Yes, let's.
Wouldn't you know, Serena and Joe have their sons in the exact same place.
What?
Yes. Joe is a 6 degree Scorpio sun. Serena is a 2 degree Scorpio sun. So they are really connecting in the area of, oh, you're like a mirror of me. I see you in me. We see each other in the same way. Now, here's the interesting flip of the script. Serena's moon is in Leo, almost exactly conjunct Kendall's sun. So what Joe is finding as he moves along on this journey is low key, Serena's a lot more like Kendall.
Oh man.
Any thought?
Sure is.
And so, you know, not only did she go on the date with someone, because why not? Yeah, I'm going to make out. But I think that, you know, the passion that we're not seeing on camera, you know, Leo moon versus Leo sun, right? So Leo moon means that she does have, you know, fiery emotions and she does care about being like, there was nothing that turned her on more than when he came and said, I'm here for you, right? She needs that. She loves that. What's kind of romantic here too is that his moon is exactly conjunct her north node, life's purpose, Dharma, and her Juno. So her marriage asteroid, right? So there's a real connection here where if she is a little bit uncomfortable with the relationship for whatever reasons, and I will tell you why in a minute, he is bringing her into her life's purpose, which actually is to become more functional, which actually is to have an on the level marriage that actually is, you know, by, not by the book necessarily, but like by the book. Like he's basically showing her that men can be really reliable and real. Like I think in her chart. So when I look at her chart, what's really interesting is that their suns are in the same place. Okay. But then Serena has her Mercury and her Chiron, her wound, but also where she becomes the super healer right there in Scorpio with his son. And it's also where, you know, this is now getting into the weeds, but asteroid Ceres, which is like sort of the mothering asteroid. Like I think he's kind of giving her some mothering in a sense, like he's sort of nurturing her into actually being down for intimacy. Like if you guys remember, Serena's big, I got to get out of here moment on her season when she was a contestant on The Bachelor was when they did that like couples yoga.
And yeah.
Now, a normal Scorpio sun, granted, they may not want to do it on TV, but like a usual Scorpio sun would be like, yeah, let's like mesh. Let's like put our bodies together in these weird twisty positions, right? But she has her Mercury and her Chiron in Scorpio too. So there is something on like a karmic level where she is wounded in the area of actual intimacy, even though that is what she kind of appears to be projecting. And, you know, it's interesting when we talk about Scorpio projecting, because why are they so fucking boring so far? Because they are waiting for the cameras to go off for them to actually have those real conversations. They are maybe even in the boom, boom room, but they're not, they have their own boom, boom room somewhere naughty off to the side that we don't even know about. Because actually Scorpios care a lot about privacy and they care a lot about things being secret and things being like intimate just for us. Right. But I think in general, even though she thinks she wants that and she kind of plays this game of like, I'm mysterious, come at me, come get me. Her wound is there. So she's also like playing kind of hard to get or playing like a little bit like, I don't know if I'm into intimacy because she has a wound there. She actually has a karmic past where she is, you know, not completely trusting of what happens behind closed doors or that deeper intimacy, right? So just to recap, she is a Scorpio sun, Leo moon. He is a Scorpio sun, Virgo moon, and it is on her north node with her Juno, marriage asteroid. Now, I actually, for some reason, it's and my chart is different. I'll cut the beginning part out, but his chart, his actual Juno is also exactly conjunct her. She has a Mars-Venus conjunction in Sag. So for him, marriage, yeah, he thought Kendall was kind of going to be that Sag soul that he wanted to be with. But at the end of the day, a Sag soul is a little bit too haughty for him, right? Like at least, yeah. Even though we think that Leo is sort of like me, it's not really. Leo is more just like playful, fun, self-expression, right? Sag is the eldest of the fire signs. And they're like, I'm right, you're wrong. I've dated a lot of Sag moons and you don't want to fight with them. Okay. That's like Kendall going, no, I'm not fucking moving. That's a Sag moon, thinking that their way is the only way. Serena has her Mars and her Venus in Sag directly on his marriage asteroid, meaning that on a soul level, she just cares that she's having fun, right? Mm-hmm. And on an ego level, she cares that if she's going to be intimate, it's going to be bonded and it's going to be behind closed doors. But her Mars and her Venus, meaning like the time that she like for her to have a good time, for her to be into something, for her to actually like, you know, actually like call in money or love or have adventures, it is in that sort of Sagittarian way right on his Juno. So it's almost like for them, like this relationship is the adventure and meeting on this adventurous island. It's like she has a need for adventure and knowledge seeking and growing and learning. He's kind of taking her there. Like he's like, I am this older guy. Mm-hmm. I will show you what like an actual solid, not, you know, when you have a north node in Virgo, which is what Serena has, that means that your south node is in Pisces. So she's kind of coming from this very like ethereal, boundaryless, nebulous place where with her north node and her Juno in Virgo, it's kind of like, no, you're meant to get out of the like watery Pisces and go, no, for real, this dude is a grocery store guy. He has a 9 to 5. It's not so confusing. He's going to give you the schedule. He's going to tell you what's right from wrong. He's going to lead with, I like to live in Chicago, but I'm open to, you know, splitting our time or doing whatever. It's like I think when I look at this chart, it's almost like Serena has had to use all of the fire in her chart to kind of advocate for herself and to almost block herself from actual intimacy. Whereas I think he is breaking down her walls because he's showing her that he is safe to be intimate with.
Wow. I mean, that sounds really legit because you can see that they have a connection on the show, but like what they're saying is just like, I don't get how, like, I can see your eye contact that you're into each other. I can see the sparks flying. You're also just like making jokes the whole time and going so surface level with everything.
You want to know why? Because they both have their Mercury's in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It's the Mercury.
Like cameras rolling, play dumb. Cameras rolling, say less. But really, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. There's a lot going on. That's why we got that big makeout. When there was a moment of like, oh no, are we going to be whisked away from the island by the wind? They were like, I'm holding on to you, babe. And that's when we first finally saw the actual motherfucking passion.
True. That is true. Because it was about to be taken away. Now, my question to all of this Juno connection, do you think there's going to be an engagement at the end of this?
Let's take a look at the chart of the relationship, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
I see what I was saying. Okay, so do I think there's going to be, I'm just going to say a hard yes on that one.
Woo!
I'm going to say a hard yes. You know why? Because in the chart of this relationship, the sun, that's what I was seeing. I had the wrong, of this relationship, the sun is on their sun. So they actually share that radiant solar energy. The moon is on his moon and the moon is on her, Juno North Node conjunction. And then Juno in this chart is exactly on their sun. I actually think not only could there be an engagement, I think they could get married. I think he's sort of like bringing her home to safety.
Mm-hmm. And I see what you're saying with the Sag and the adventure, like the age gap adds some interest, it adds some education, it adds some adventure. The Canada to the Chicago vibes. Like I can see her being excited to explore both of those yes. places. And he might be more open to moving as well if he doesn't feel like his partner is staunchly against moving where he wants to go.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I'm looking at the relationship chart of Kendall and Joe. And what's interesting is in the chart of the relationship, they have both their sun and their moon and their Mercury in Libra. So on some level, they really did work as a couple, but all that Libra meant too much compromise for all of the things that they both have intense charts separately, too much compromise. Also in this relationship chart, they have Uranus, Juno, the marriage asteroid, and Saturn all at the early degrees of Sagittarius, which is where her moon is. And where his Juno is. So at the end of the day, they actually got together to break up. This was actually the marriage from a past life that had to end so that he could actually like clear that karma and move into an actual Scorpio. He doesn't want a Libra relationship and she doesn't want a Libra relationship. They want like intense Scorpio or at least intense Sagittarius passion. And actually in the chart of the relationship, they actually got more, they were very comfortable, but they were pretty vanilla together. I think he dimmed her light. Yeah. And I think that she really made him compromise on things. He did not want to live in California.
Absolutely.
And for the final ending to be while they're on island on TV, very Uranus, Juno, Saturn in Sagittarius. You got to go on the adventure to actually Uranus. Whoop! Actually fucking cut it off, end it all.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was beautiful. Yeah, that's a whole journey. I mean, wow. That all just checks out so well.
Mm. Now, what I will say, and it did come up earlier in the discussion, so I just want to make a quick note. We already went through their chart history. Do I think an engagement's at the end of it? Yes. I am talking about Riley and Marisa.
You do think an engagement's at
the end? I do think an engagement's at the end of this. Now, I was shocked when Marisa went on the date.
Well, she didn't go on a date. She just went, and she just had a conversation.
Well, she went on the walk. She went on the walk. She went on the walk.
Yeah.
She went on the walk.
I know. And she was really excited to see that guy tomorrow. And then she was excited to take him on the date. And then when he was about to announce who he was taking, she was like, ooh, like you could see her like getting excited. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of like spiraled after that and was like, Riley's not telling me enough, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, is that the issue? Or did you just see a guy that you also liked? And now you're like, I wonder if this is going to work outside of here. But it did turn out that her trying to get him to express himself really was a beautiful moment. And it did kind of solidify what you were saying last week about his Chiron and Cancer situation.
Well, and also like at the end of the day, we do have to have some forgiveness for Marisa because she is a Gemini sun, Gemini Venus. Like for Geminis, sometimes it takes like another person to be into to realize, oh my, like Geminis need mirrors. Geminis need multiple choices so that they can choose. And I thought it was really cool the way he acted when even just went on the, he was like, he did not act like grocery store Joe. He was not like writhing in his tent, unable to be seen until she returned back. I mean, he was a little emo, but actually he saved that emo for her. When we got that Riley Criley scene, I fell in love.
Yeah, I mean, that was so beautiful. What kind of crushed the scene for me was the, like, they're having this moment and she's like, I don't want to say it. Like, I don't want to say it, but he's like, just say it. And then she goes, I'm falling in love with you. This is a real true moment. You're in love with this man. Just say, I love you. Like, have you ever in your life said to someone, I'm falling in love with you before?
No.
Like it would be.
I'm usually like, we're in a breakup fight where I'm like, I fucking love you, you fuckhead. You know, so I'm going way off, but.
you're the only last real romantic left.
I will fight till the death until I kill you when we're finally together. But I mean, they must have like some kind of like, I'm here for the wrong reasons. Like, I feel like some producer has like, bought the phrase falling in love with you. It's like a way that they can say like, I'm still on the journey and I'm keeping my door open so that this is a TV show and not just now we're together. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's gotta like, be someone saying, just say you're falling in love. Say you're falling in love. Don't say you're in love. Say you're falling in love. You know what I mean?
Like, they're definitely like, you can keep them on the hook. Like, yeah. It's the way to get the people to that point a little bit early because they're not ready yet to say, I love you. But that was one of my favorite couples, Tayshia and Zach. Not only because he's a Jersey boy, but because they said to each other when they first said it, they just said, I love you instead of doing this stupid, I'm falling in love with you. And I'm like, that's a man. That's a man. Yeah.
Well, that. And I also feel like Matt James used it. He almost like weaponized, I'm falling in love with you, because he was like sort of like letting everybody say it to him. And then he'd be like, yes, I am falling for your daughter. I am falling for your sister. But when it came to Rachel, he was like, I love you.
Right.
So it's like there is this stark difference between and even with Katie and Grippo and Blake, at the end of the day, when she and Blake finally said, I love you, I feel like it was a real hard, I love you. Like that's just like, I fucking love you. Right.
Yeah.
Where with Greg, it was always like, I'm falling. Are you falling? Are we falling? It's like, yeah, we are falling to the motherfucking ground because now Greg's going to go down as a gaslighter when that's not even, he just needs to get a Grippo.
And a new therapist. Oh.
Oh, R.I.P. Grippo's therapist. Ooh.
Tough. Ooh, that was tough.
Tough times. Tough times. Okay. Next.
All right. Sorry, I took that down a bad path.
No. I think it's really important to remember that Greg's therapist died.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's gonna get a Grippo one day.
Everybody put a thought in the air for Greg's therapist. We are thinking of you, R.I.P. And let's just call in a honestly, I don't even know if Greg needs a therapist, but if he needs a life coach, I'm motherfucking available.
Wow, it's true. And he's from New Jersey, so he's around. He's in the tri-state area.
I know Edison somewhere. Guys. I could talk to an Edison guy into living his fucking dreams, man.
Yeah, you could meet him at the mall, you know, who knows?
Now, while we're on Grippo, though, again, before we move into our next couple, I do just want to touch quickly on the actual new Greg Grippo, the actual gaslighter, the actual guy with an acting reel online.
Yeah.
Brendan Murray.
Wow. The acting reel was serious. Go out and find it. If you can't find Brendan's acting reel.
I tried to be an actor.
Yeah, it was on his Instagram, like early days. He may have taken it off since, but he's the actual actor. He's the actual gaslighter.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually losing followers as we speak, I'm sure.
Right. And you know, it's so like, you know, why is it that he got away with murder? I mean, this guy was on the show for the wrong reasons. He canceled himself because he wasn't ready for love when he was one of the final five. Like, fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
And he had an acting reel all along. How did we miss him? Was it just because he was like a painter from Boston? Like, what was it that we, I guess like we didn't even look because he was hot. I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. He had such a more gentle demeanor on Tayshia's season than what like came really across this time.
That he is a good actor.
Oh, well, the acting reel would say differently, but maybe he's honed his skills a little bit more since then.
Here's what I'm thinking for Brendan. If at the end of the day, you know, we know he had a tough week. Again, he's hemorrhaging followers. And I don't know if you saw, but he did lose his sponsorship from Nordic Track.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. And also there have been a lot of so he did a big apology. Did you see his big apology?
No, I didn't watch the apology.
It was really bad. It was a bit of a non-apology, if you will. I'll send you the link. But it was like an 8-minute rambling thing where instead of just being like, I fucked up, I'm so embarrassed, whatever, whatever. It was like very like the vibe of like, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I have a lot of learning and growing to do. I want to be super clear. Piper and I were not boyfriend and girlfriend. It was just like still very defensive.
Yeah, like just because you were also screwing over Piper in this whole, like I would respect you more if you actually did like wife her up a little bit and give her the label instead of just completely screwing her over as well. And she's
like, nobody's my girlfriend. I'm just here to be an actor.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts the soul. Brendan.
Tisk, Brendan.
All you have to do is say, I fucked up. That's it.
All you have to say is I fucked up. I'm a fucking idiot. I was afraid that I would lose all my followers. And here I did. I lost all my followers. So you manifest what you think about. But I will say, in the vein of you manifest what you think about, if all of this ends up with him getting some kind of an acting role, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
If that's what he was doing all along, then I hope he gets. I could see him in one of the Affleck brothers movies. He could be the third Affleck brother.
I just thought of Casey Affleck when you said that too.
Stop. Gemini telepathy at work. Right before your ears, people. Wow.
Trash Lorette magic, baby. Trash, we're making it right here.
Telepathy.
Wow, that's so funny. I literally thought Casey Affleck.
Don't
too.
You think he could play the third Affleck?
Yeah, yeah. I think just like a dark, moody character.
Boston accent. He's a painter.
And everyone's like, you know, he causes some controversy because he gets the award. Mm-hmm. Probably not an Oscar, but like maybe he gets it. I don't know. But if he's the first Bachelor person to actually break into the acting industry, that would
I'd love to see it.
A shocker, but you know, yeah,
it would be a shocker, but I want that for him because I'm not a negative Nancy. Like, we don't wish ill upon people, even if they give bad apologies when they mess up on reality TV. That's just not who we are.
Right. We do want him to give a better apology eventually.
Yeah. Certainly.
But
at the moment,
we're not, you know,
I mean, I also like to think like they're contractually obligated to not like saying much. Like, I wish that what he said was like, look, Piper and I weren't together at the time, blah, 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 blah. But like, we're hanging in there by a thread now. Like, I guess they're just not really allowed to share anything actually vulnerable about what's really going on. So all he can kind of say is like, I didn't mean to bring Piper into this. You know, I'm learning and growing as I go. And I was really just trying to stay on the, and then he was like, so weird about like in the apology, he's like, Natasha is a sweet, sweet girl. I didn't mean to say that she would have no other prospects. I didn't have any other prospects either, but it's like, yeah, Brendan, it's because you knew that Piper was coming. Don't bring it up again.
Yeah. Just stop. Quit while you're ahead, dude. While you're behind.
Just like uncool.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, we're throwing it at you, Bren. If you're interested in working with the Afflecks, at them. You know, maybe they'll respond. You could be the third brother.
Yeah, we're here for it.
All
right, let's move it along to our next.
Okay, so there's a lot of other things we could discuss, but I do feel like we should save all of these sort of slowly lighting love triangles for next week, because we obviously didn't even get a rose ceremony in this season they're stretching out. You know, it's like the longest, shortest season of all time, right?
Exactly. And like, not that much happened this episode either. We had a lot of people do the falling in love thing, which was very annoying.
Very annoying. Yeah. Like blah, blah, blah. Mari and Kenny, they're really digging each other. So great. We kind of known them from the start. We got a Riley Crowley moment. That was fabulous. Serena and Joe, it's official. Kenny's out of town. Now here's what I want to discuss, and then we can save the rest for next week. And if you guys have any questions or thoughts or want to know more, let us know. Cause we're here to serve you, trash things. I'm very curious about what's going on between Noah and Abigail. Again, quite possibly one of the most boring reality show romances of all time. And yet they are still here. Are they using each other for the rose? Are they doing, like, what's, you know? And so I'm going to look at the charts, but before I even get there, based on your vast knowledge of the way that these relationships work, what the fuck do you think is going on with these two boys?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I really don't know. Like, you want to talk about, like, Joe, Serena are the protagonists. I wouldn't say that Abigail and Noah are the antagonists. They're not doing anything wrong, but they're just like a void in there.
I was just going to say they're sort of a void.
They're a void. Like, they're just nothing. And it's like, I think they've probably had like two conversations on screen, but they've been on the show the entire time, much like James. But I'm much more invested in James's storyline at this point than I am Noah and Abigail. And I like Abigail. And I think Noah, in part, this is what I think maybe, in part, this is a bit of a reconnaissance mission for Noah and his reputation.
He did have a bad, so for anybody that didn't know, fill them in on what went down with Noah last season while I grab my charger.
So he was on Tayshia's season.
Yes.
I believe he was not on Claire's. And then he was like one of the guys brought in at the end for Tayshia to like throw her a bone and give her some of her own guys. So then he got into a fight, or not a fight, but an argument with Bennett, our Harvard grad, Bennett. It was very cringeworthy. There were really no winners. And he really was only on the show for a couple of episodes. Then he had this mustache that didn't go well. And yeah, then he kind of left. So he really came across as just like a bit of a F boy.
Yeah, they were kind of trying to make him. I feel like on some level, even though there were people that were way worse, he was like sort of the he was sort of like the Thomas of his season for some reason.
Yeah.
Like everyone just like turned on him and they're like, he's not here for the right reasons. This guy's a frat boy, fuck boy, whatever. And it was like, he just has a weird mustache. And then I actually think he even shaved his mustache to prove his love. And then everyone was like, oh, he looked better with a mustache kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. That all of that happened, which is
a painful moment.
It's just another one of those moments of them like coming up with these dates in the quarantine seasons that you're
right,
like,
right.
We're shaving someone's face.
I know the big drama will be Noah shaves a stash.
like literally I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I spend hours and hours of my life
right.
watching and talking about this show, but it never stops. But yeah, so
I agree. This has been a very big Noah redemption season because look,
yeah.
We could have guessed a lot of things about this guy, but we would not guess that he was actually such a like, I don't know. I mean, he did pursue Abigail from the get and she is probably the most, you know, of the women. She's almost like even more pure than grocery store Joe. She's the grocery store Joe of the women. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of just like, she sort of seems like a Vestal virgin in a way.
Right. It's too pure, kind of like in the beginning when she said to Noah that, oh, I just don't ever like get to the next level with guys. I'll just talk to them for months and months and months before I do anything. And you're like, this is not the best thing to say to the man when you're just starting to date him on a show where you got to get a rose every week. Like,
oh, 100%. And also like, talk about speaking, you know, speaking things into existence. She's like, yeah, I tend to just friend zone guys or whatever. That's my deaf voice. But she's like, yeah, I tend to just friend zone. Sorry. But she's like, I tend to just friend zone guys. And then it's like the whole season. We're just like, is she friend zoning him? Are they friend zoning? Yeah. What's the deal?
But then like, surely he would get sick of it at some point, unless he's so dedicated to not being the villain anymore that he goes, no, I'm sticking this one out. You can friend zone me and I'm going to keep picking you. But then at the same time, she hasn't pursued anyone. Like, neither one of these people has pursued anyone else. And yet they don't seem to be attracted to each other at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really interesting. Now I have all the info up. Now, just out of curiosity, you want to take a guess at either their sun and moons? There could be a big shock here. Warning. You could be shocked.
Ooh. Okay, cool. I'll throw a Taurus in there because of the stubbornness and no hate, no shade to a Taurus, because there's two sides to every coin. You can be stubborn. You can also be like dedicated and loyal on the same. So it's all good and bad, but I will say they're both just like gonna ride this one out. And like, if they end up getting freaking engaged, it's not going to make any sense. And it's one of the like most cringeworthy aspects of watching this show is just like watching people go through these relationships just so that they don't look bad on TV. But like,
yeah. Or I mean, the other thing that we're just seeing is like, you know, this really is like the gamification of love. So like, I'm going to tell you all the things that the chart, but now just, what do you think about Abby's chart?
Well, that was really for either one of them was Taurus, but for Abby's.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So you think there's Taurus in both of them? Anybody? Yeah. Any specifics?
What do I know about Abby? She's very like sweet. She friend zones guys, is avoiding intimacy. So we could throw a Scorpio in there. That's most of what I know about her. I would say I'll go maybe Pisces.
Okay. First of all, you fucking rock. Abigail is a Pisces sun.
Yes.
Very, very good. Both Abigail and Noah have their south nodes in Taurus. Okay. So it's not their sun or their moon, but it is their south node, meaning that they are both expert Taurus, and that their north node, both of their north nodes are in Scorpio. And it's not that Scorpio is probably the most intimate. It's just not necessarily going to be intimate on TV because it's specifically so intimate that it's like a behind closed doors thing. But both of their
that going on a behind closed doors connection.
Well, here's what I think is going on. Okay. So they both have their north node in Scorpio, which means that both of their life's work, the dharma of their life, is to actually let go of that sense of safety a bit and go deeper with someone else into a dark and intimate place, right? But we know that this is hard for both of them. So Abigail is a Pisces sun, exactly conjunct her Saturn. So for her, I mean, it's actually a really great way to describe someone who has, you know, a hearing impairment, right? Because sun conjunct Saturn in Pisces, it's like things are not just regular Pisces fuzzy for her, but like super fuzzy. Like, she does have spatial and like she can't hear, and she has this Pisces boundarylessness, but because Saturn is there, it's like, and it's sort of a problem, and it's something that she really has to have her guard up because of, right? Mm-hmm. So she really is super guarded, even though she is this sort of like nebulous, watery, sweet, ethereal Pisces, because Saturn is there. It's like, yeah, don't let your guard down though. You actually are missing one of your senses. Hey, right? Now here's the big shocker. They both have Aries moons.
Wow. Huh. That's so, the shocker. I don't get it.
I had to think a lot about this when I pulled the charts up. I thought, wow, interesting. Because when I think of Aries moons, I think of them as like passionate and like just like fucking get the thing that you want. And like,
okay, I see that more for him in Tayshia's season, not this season, but total Aries vibe in Tayshia's season.
Well, so here's how I reconciled with this boring ass loveless couple, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, at the end of the day, both of their moons are in Aries, which means, aside from the fact that they really appreciate that both of them are not interested in other people. Like, so Aries moons are selfish, or they have a tendency. So on the one hand, it could be like, I'm really passionate, I'm going after you. But at the same time, the fact that they're on this show that is the gamification of love, the fact that they have this Taurus safety and the sort of, they have this Taurus safety net and this sort of, it appeals to both of them that I choose you, I choose you. At the end of the day, this in some ways is a relationship of convenience, because what they really care about at the end of the day, Aries moon, is their own motherfucking survival.
Wow.
Right. So like, they actually, it's almost like, I sort of feel like with them, after they both, whatever the version of, I don't think that they're going to get engaged, because they've barely even made out this entire season, unless we're really missing something. But I could see it being the kind of thing that after the like show is wrapped, they actually start the relationship, because at that point they're both Taurus safe enough to go into those mm-hmm. Scorpio North Node waters. And then it's kind of hot, right? There's this passion that they might feel more comfortable playing with, because it's like, well, we were together that whole time and we did survive, you know, Aries is very survival. We did survive as individuals together. So she's like, okay, I could actually, you know, I think Abigail does have certain, I'm surprised that she's on in the franchise, frankly, but it's like, I think to be hearing impaired or sensory, and this is not like I'm not like whatever ableist or whatever, but I think it's like, I mean, it's really vulnerable. It's not just like I'm on the season and I have this thing different about me. I think to let someone really into your life, I mean, if I remember correctly, like her sisters are all deaf from, like, she's also living yeah. in a very Saturn Pisces, like a very different sort of impaired world of her own. And it probably is really vulnerable to mm-hmm. let someone, even with Matt James, like she and Matt James had this like sort of nice connection, same kind of thing, but she really never was able to like get really intimate with him. She was never really able to let him in. She finally had to say like, it's hard to be deaf or something. What was her big reveal?
So she said to him, like, because this is kind of a prominent gene in my family, if I'm to have kids,
oh yeah,
it is possible and maybe even probable that the kids will also be yes. hearing impaired.
Right.
And so I think that could be part of why she has this wall up in love. And like, fair enough, yeah. because you're going to be afraid to fall for someone and then have to have that conversation once you've already fallen in love. And then it's like, yes. And not for nothing, it didn't work out with Matt. So
right.
She may even have more of a wall up now, because she did have that intimate.
Well, and he's sort of like she was there the whole time. He was giving her all the roses.
First one-on-one, first rose.
And then he like wasn't interested in her beyond that, really. And she was just sort of confused. Like, I'm still here. And I know that like I was the first pick, but like, you know, she was like the opposite of Grippo, where she was like, hey, I'm still here. I know I was your first pick, but like, I'm now your last pick. What's the deal? Right. But I think you're so right. Like, I think that she does have this wall up. Yeah. I forgot about that. It was the kids thing. But I think that because Noah, if they last this whole season, and from a sort of self-protecting, like Aries Taurus place, right? Like they're like, okay, I care about me. Okay. I care about me. Okay. Well, together we're safe on the island if we just like band together. And even if I friend zone you, but now I get it more, where it's like, she's friend zoning people because she really does come with a certain vulnerable baggage that someone really is going to have to be down for, right?
Yeah, now I do almost think need to earn their spot.
Yeah,
100%, which makes sense.
It does make total sense, and I do think that who she's with, I think it gives Noah a lot of sort of credibility that he was like, first person I'm interested in is Abigail. There was no one else that he was interested in. And so the fact that he came onto the show having pre-chosen her, I think is going to go a long way. But I don't think it's going to happen on camera, because I think that she just takes so long to warm up that it's like the ice is still ice. It is not melting, even though they're in the hot, hot sun. And I think that she's sort of there to survive. I don't think she wants to go home in an embarrassing way again. I don't think that she wants to get that deeply intimate because of all the things that come along with that. But I think she wants to survive the show. I think that they have the same south node, the same moon. So on a soul level, they actually really get each other. And they both are interested in protecting themselves. And then that south node and Taurus, they're both like, all right, I'll stay safe with you. Even if they are friend zoning each other, like, you know what? This is a game. Let's play. We are Aries, like, here to fucking just protect ourselves together, right? That's a nice union. Now, this did surprise me, but guess what we have for Noah? Noah is a Scorpio sun.
Aha.
So
This is like the week of the Scorpios now. It's like,
oh my God, yes.
The week of the Geminis. And we do Scorpio not week. Know.
Yeah, we're literally like not preparing for this. We just like after the episode, we're like, who should we talk about? And we look it up. Yeah, last week was week of the Geminis. This is week of the Scorpio. So he is a Scorpio sun. He has his Jupiter there. He has his Juno there. He has his Pluto there. She has her, let me make sure this is correct. Yep. She has her Venus and her Mercury in Scorpio. I got to fix that too. No, that's not where her Venus and Mercury are. That's where his, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's all him. He's all Scorpio. Okay. Cut. Ooh. Sarah, fix this part.
Could maybe join a throuple with Joe and Serena.
Yeah. So he has a super Scorpio stallion. So he has his Venus. He has his Mercury. He has his North Node. He has his Sun. He has his Jupiter. He has his Juno. He has his Pluto, all in Scorpio.
Oh my God.
Now, what this means, and I'll tell you where her things are because it makes sense. But for him, I think coming on the show and picking her, and even though it's like it might seem not that intimate, which I don't know if it is yet, I think they're both very guarded. But I think at the end of the day, all of this Scorpio in his, if there was anyone that would be like, okay, look, we survived the whole season. Now let's finally fuck and make deaf babies. Like if there was anyone that would actually be down for doing that, like deeper loving, like at their best, Scorpios are the most intimate. Scorpios will 100% like bond with you completely and take on the thing that, so the fact is like their suns highly compatible. They're both water suns. They have the same Aries moon. So they are very self-protecting and he will play that Scorpio long game to melt this motherfucking ice. Right now. Mm-hmm. So her Venus and her Mercury are in Aquarius. So Venus, the planet of love, goddess, heart, Mercury, thoughts, communications, like the way that you're actually processing is in Aquarius. So again, it makes sense for a deaf person on TV because it's like, it's a little bit removed. It's slightly dissociated. It's slightly detached. It is being broadcast and yet it's not that intimate. Very, very Aquarius. Like,
so but also like just you being there is good for the collective.
Right. Exactly. Like, right. Her being this, you know, hard of hearing goddess out there does give a lot of people hope and is breaking. Have we ever had someone without one of their senses on The Bachelor so far? I do not think so. So she really is here to kind of play that part. That's so right, Casey. Like she is here to be like, look, I'm pretty, I'm cool. I happen to be hard of hearing. I can do this too. And so we're seeing her out there doing it. The soul of her is super Aries. I'm just trying to survive. I am trying to find love. I am trying to show up and just do the thing and be the first. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to show up and say I'm ready for love. Then he caught this really bad rap where I do think this season he's doing that full recon where he's like, yo, you got me all wrong. I'm an intense motherfucker. And I think he played it completely fucking right, choosing her, zeroing in on her and waiting her out. I think they're going to wait out the season. They're going to graduate together. I don't think there's going to be an engagement, but I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later that now they actually are dating.
Yeah, I think that would be the best success for them. It would be very like weird having her say that she usually friend zones everyone and then oops, except this time I got engaged in 3 weeks, but I only made out with the guy twice. And right. also like, it's possible we haven't seen all of the ins and outs of their relationship because maybe it was a little boring, but maybe they are making progress and we just haven't really seen that. But
I wouldn't be surprised if they had the kind of conversation that we're even describing now, which is like, yo, if you're going to friend zone me, and like, I could see him being really smart about this. Like, yo, fine, friend zone me. Let's stay here and be on the island as long as possible. Collect the paycheck, collect the followers, not have any drama or stress. Let's save each other. And then after the fact, I'll show you how much I like you. And then she's like, okay.
Yeah.
But she really doesn't want to get that close. Like, I bet you if somebody said, Abigail, do you want to be the next bachelorette? Like, she would probably say no.
Yeah, probably. Like that.
I don't think she wants to be intimate with that many people. I don't think she wants to let people in like that. I think she feels really vulnerable and a little bit zoomed out. I think connecting, why does she friend zone everybody? Because she doesn't even... she assumes that no one understands what she's going through. She assumes that no one's going to really like, especially on like a reality TV show. I mean, we're talking about falling in love. We're talking about like 8 week periods here, people. Like, I think she's sort of like, look, I feel called to do this. I want to really represent the hard of hearing community and be a hot girl, hard of hearing goddess for the little girls who think that they'll never be able to be in Bachelor Nation, but they can. Right. And I think past that, she sort of is a little bit like, what am I doing here? You know, like, I think she's a little bit like, do I actually want to kiss 30 guys? I don't think she wants to kiss 30 guys, even though her Venus is in Aquarius. It's a very, it's like a 0 degree Aquarius. So a Venus. So it's like, okay, she's interested in connecting with people, but like when it comes to her heart, it's almost just that like she likes to see what's out there, but like she's a little bit dissociated. She's a little bit removed and she does not assume that people, you know, are really like going to be loving or understanding or really all in with her in the way that she really is going to require if she's actually going to let somebody in.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, like in terms of the Aquarius and the community and everything, it does seem that she is like besties with everyone.
Totally.
She also seems to be good friends with everyone. So at the same time, have they made the absolute best romantic connection? I don't know. We have to wait and see and find out. But it does seem like they've made some real friendships on the beach this year. So
absolutely. I feel like Bachelor in Paradise is like, even like the whole thing, it all seems like camp. Like, yeah, the way they all hang out in their like, it's like literally this was like my bunk from this year. And like, we're going to be friends forever. Like literally I'm going to go on The Bachelor just to relive my camp days.
Yeah. Except I do think, I was thinking this episode, I was like, if I was like in a successful relationship and still there from week one, at this point, I would be like, let's wrap it up. Like,
right.
There's no AC the whole time.
Oh no. Oh my God. Can you imagine? Well, in a way though, there's something sort of like
romantic about it.
Like it helps the intimacy just because like the scent and the pheromones, like if you can stand the way that your partner smells on a tropical island with no AC, then you do really stand them.
Yeah. Once you get back to the normal world or like, you know, Chicago or wherever,
right,
they don't reek like a bag of asses.
Wow.
I mean, you are just going to thrive in love at that point.
Wow. It's really interesting to reframe the Riley Marisa whipped cream date though, thinking of it in terms of there's no AC.
Oh yeah. It's tough. It's
they were
tough.
Like very, very sweaty.
And that was all on the sandy beach too.
Okay. They're pretty ride or die. I do. Okay. So far our predictions, I do see a Jarena engagement. I do see a Miley engagement. We got to have
a name. What are you saying? Adrena?
Jarena. So like Serena and Joe, a Jarena.
Oh.
And Jarena a Miley.
Engagement. Okay.
Miley and Jarena, I see an engagement. Okay. And I think... I think Kenny and Mari, they're already
engaged. Signed, sealed, delivered.
They're already engaged.
And Demi should be the officiant at their wedding, honestly. She handed it to them on a silver platter.
I do love that Demi... like Instagram clip that's going around where she's like, if you for 1 second slut shamed me, I want you to know that I will come for every member of your family and fuck them. I liked her for that. I thought that was funny. Awesome.
Yeah. I love funny. Demi. I just, you know, I wish she would keep it more real like that.
Well, it just like doesn't seem like she's actually there looking for love. It seems like she's getting paid extra to actually be a problem. So I'm shocked whenever she's like actually like upset. It's like, really? Like,
yeah,
you clearly we're here to be this character. What are you upset about? But okay, okay. And so in terms of that, I'm going to say my prediction, Abigail, Noah, there is Noah engagement at the end of this, but I do think that they may actually start dating once the cameras stop rolling.
Yeah, I think we could, they're very adjacent to like a Dean Kalen relationship.
I don't even know who those people are. Who are those people?
Oh, okay. They were on a past Paradise season.
What
and
happened?
Now they like, so he was kind of got a bad rep. He was like a sweetheart of Rachel. I forget what her last name was. The lawyer.
Oh, Rachel's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Rachel's season. He was like a sweetheart on there. Then he went on Paradise and became a villain.
Ooh.
Then the next season he came on Paradise again and he was like mountain man living out of a van with a mustache, you know, like again, trying to do the recon, trying to get the reputation back. It's like when I saw John Mayer two summers in a row in high school and like the first time he had his shirt off and his hair was short and he was like such a heartthrob. And then the next summer was like after everybody knew that he was like breaking hearts all over Hollywood. So then he was like dressed like a total nerd with like a button up, a shirt buttoned up all the way to the top of the neck. And he's wearing like ankle pants and his hair was all long. And I was like, where was the man that I saw last year?
Like, right. It's almost like if you like, it's like you want to like cover all the bases. So like whatever type that you're into, he's going to fit into that box. Like he's just really doing like, just like across the board. I'm every man. Like I'm all the men.
Oh, 100%. In fact, I would love to hear his chart one day if you can sneak him into a space John trash Mayer? For some reason or other. I'd definitely love
I would he's definitely love to read.
Pulling some like emotional manipulation tactics on
absolutely.
The did I buy tickets to this tour? Absolutely. Am I going to see him in February? Absolutely.
I mean, so this will be John Mayer times three for you?
Yes.
Can't wait to hear what he was wearing.
It sure will. But the point is Dean came back with like the mustache mountain man, whatever. And then he kind of screwed over Kaylin and then he came back for Kaylin and he took her off the beach. And now they've been living in his van and like a tiny home kind of vibe and like going all over the world. And they like are like, we're married, but like, we never got married, but like, it's just like we're husband and wife. And I'm like,
right.
That's fine. I'm actually married, but it's fine for you to just it's a little annoying.
Yeah, I could. That's pretty right on though. Like I could actually see. That's what I kind of think is going to happen. I don't necessarily think they're going to be in a van, but a tiny house I think would be great. Like I think they're going to have some story where it's like actually we're not married necessarily, but like we're doing something really special together now that we've proven to each other that we're actually going to like be able to be self-absorbed and safe together.
Like a totally next level, like none of us could have predicted it kind of relationship because it just really seemed like Dean was going to totally break and stomp all over Kaylin's heart. And actually he like brought her along and took this like totally basic pageant queen and turned her into like a mountain goddess. Like cool.
I
mean,
I could even see it being the kind of thing where, once they get through the season and then they actually start to talk about like what's next for them, I could see Noah with all that Scorpio being like, hey, let's flip this hard of hearing thing on its head. And like, let's let like, not necessarily a reality show, but like, let's make you like the star. Like, I think what he has the potential to do is like really empower what she relates to as like her disability. And I'm not saying it's a disability. I'm just saying like, I could see him really being, because like, that's the thing about all that Scorpio in his chart. Like he's actually meant to like get deep with someone. And that is where he actually sources his power from. So I could totally see him sort of sourcing her, like going, hey, I'm here to back you up. I don't need to be the star. I don't care if I have a mustache or not, but let's make a killing on the deaf market. Like, let's actually make you the poster girl of deaf girls can do anything.
They
could do
her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think he could really bring her into like a new echelon of her public figure career, which she kind of doesn't seem to totally know what to do with or what she's doing there. She's just like, I know I should be here. So I could see that really working out in their favor. Now there's a few other things. Now I don't want to do any of the other couples, but there are three quick questions. Although are you getting tired? We could wrap this up and we could save this for next time.
No, I don't think we should like do anyone else's chart, because I think things are heating up in a couple other arenas, but I'm definitely down for a quick little Q&A.
So the question that I think is on the tip of everybody's tongue is, in fact, why is Aaron such a bitch boy?
I don't have the answer to that.
We don't need to dig into Aaron and Chelsea just yet. We don't have to dig in. But I did pull up Aaron's chart. And what I will say is that he has his sun conjunct his Chiron in Virgo.
Ooh.
And he has his moon in Aquarius. So what does this mean? I think he has, as that moon in Aquarius, he does want to be on TV. He wants to be like broadcasting to the masses and being influenced. You know, Aquarius is ruled by Saturn. His Saturn is also in Aquarius. He's having his Saturn return. I think that he is, although actually, no, let me make sure that I'm getting this right. No, his Saturn is an early degree of Pisces. So his moon is in Aquarius. He is sort of a, he is sort of like we can see with Aaron, he doesn't really care about any of the things that he's fighting about. Does he actually have a passionate hatred towards Thomas? I'm not sure. Does he actually like really want to be with Chelsea? I'm not sure. But what he cares about, Aquarius moon wants to be daddy. Aquarius moon wants to be like obviously chosen. And that sun Chiron conjunction in Virgo, he's embarrassed. That's what's going on. He's like, oh my God, my perfect image, even though I've thought through how to act and I've decided on being this really cool character, for whatever reason, my image is getting fucked with. And I think that's what we're seeing. Because I had to look, I said, what's going on in this dude's chart that he's like so butthurt every episode? And that is what it is. It's that he has a sun Chiron conjunction in Virgo. So when he doesn't appear perfect, even though he is like technically very tall and muscly and hot and cool, he's like, what the fuck? It's because all of the perfection, all of the arm curls, all of the, you know, books he forced himself to read so he would appear to be, you know, intellectual, all of that cannot help the fact that he has Chiron on his sun and he is just tortured by the appearance of being imperfect and not being, you know, things not going his way and things not being functional. But I think long-term, what we're going to see is that that's actually something that we like about him. And we go, oh, he's sort of an example of a guy who like gets knocked down, but he gets up again. You know, like I actually think long-term it's going to work in his favor in terms of people being like, oh, he's not just like, you know, some meathead there for followers. He really was trying and he was in, like, I think him being embarrassed is sort of a nice, vulnerable lead in for whatever next thing he does. Do I think he's going to find love this season? I'm not so sure. We're going to have to look at the girls' charts. We're going to look at Chelsea. We'll look at that next time. Next time we'll take a look at Natasha. We'll take a look at Tia, but I just needed to know, what is it about Aaron? And for everybody, what it is that he has his Chiron conjunct his sun in Virgo. And so any sort of image problem that he has really fucking bothers him and he cannot help but show it.
I think you're absolutely right. Cause it seems like he's just feels out of control and he just needs to react right now to try and get everything back into control. And like, dude, that's not going to happen. What I'd love to see from him is a return to the beach. And I think we will see that because I think you're right. And he has this Saturn return coming up. So he has this big change coming up and he's going to learn all of his life lessons and absorb that and whatever else freaking chaotic stuff can happen during a Saturn return. And I would love to see him, the mature daddy, like you said, on the other side of this, come back and chill out a little bit.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, because this is, you're really learning astrology, Casey. I'm really fucking proud of you, but it's like,
I have a good teacher.
No, you fucking nailed it. Well, Gemini to Gemini, we're pretty quick, but like when Saturn is in the sign before your Saturn return, what's actually going on is that you're basically getting your final lessons from the first gauntlet of life that you're kind of just doing ancient remembering through. So once your Saturn returns, that's where you're like, okay, I've completed my first cycle of ancient remembering. Now it's up to me to like mature and become the product of these lessons. But he's just like, it's like he's still at the, like, he has not finished the marathon. He's on that last leg where it's like, shouldn't I be but done by now? I know who I think I am. I know what I think I'm here to do. I know who I think I'm here to be. And it's like, no, you don't. You're still not quite awake. You're not quite conscious. You don't get to move forward until you actually finish your Saturn cycle. And you actually, like, you didn't read the book if you didn't finish the book.
Exactly.
You know, read the first few chapters of the book and say, oh, I read that. No, you didn't. If you don't know how, if you didn't finish the book, you didn't finish the fucking book. So that's what's going on. It's like, he's almost done with the book and he's telling like the teacher that he finished the book. But if you ask him a question about what happens at the very end of the book, he cannot answer because mm-hmm. he's still awaiting that Saturn cycle's completion.
And there's always a surprise ending at the end of the book. You know, you never expect it. There's that little twist on the last page.
For sure is.
Without it, you're really not getting the rest.
Can you imagine, even movies, if you didn't wait till the end of Sixth Sense, what would you think the movie was about?
How beautiful Philly is in the fall.
That's literally, it would just, I mean, really, it would be so, it would just be a Philly tourism.
Yeah, with a creepy little kid. And the other
thing
I
would say. And a weird dad, Philly.
Ayo. And the other thing I would say about him, I'm hoping that James and his friendship becomes a little souvenir that he can bring with him.
Aw, yeah.
Into the next.
Now, here's the hottest take, though. I will do some deep diving. James is the only Bachelor contestant so far whose chart I cannot find.
He's an enigma. He might How be funny. A spy.
Whoa.
You heard it. Here first.
Whoa, a hot take prediction from our Sag Gemini Scorpio coming in hot. She's thinking that James low-key works for production.
He's no, not production, like the Russians or something.
Oh,
I
you
don't
think
know.
He's like you actually think he's like a you don't think he's a spy for the production staff. You think he's a spy like international spy.
Maybe from another time, like he came in a time machine.
Okay, shit. I would love, we would love to see it. You heard it here first, you guys. We think that actually James
Hidden
is not even, he's
sight.
A hologram. He is a hologram beaming back from another time because we cannot find any info on this guy. For some reason, he's still there and nobody be dating him. What's going on with James?
He's been there since the beginning. It's actually commendable. Like
he's, this is the beginning. I'm like, who is he? He hasn't dated anyone.
Yeah, it's like, Brendan, this is all you had to do. You just kind of float.
Dude, that's the thing. It's like the people that are still there, it's like they do have to be there for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, okay, like Natasha, from the beginning, you have been. And also, we didn't talk too much about it and we can get into it more next week. But do we think that Dr. Joe date with Natasha was purely a setup just to hurt her more because he was friends with Brendan?
Probably.
I That's believe what people are saying.
The producers are pretty evil.
Evil.
So they're capable of that for sure. For sure. Yeah,
the internet is just really fluttering about saying that the producers have been sabotaging Natasha this whole time.
Yeah. I don't think, I don't believe they would do that purposefully, but I think they're happy for her to just be collateral damage.
Well, and it's also like perhaps like once she already started to become collateral damage of the Brendan, like because they probably weren't like Natasha and Brendan, you guys sit together, right? But it's like, you know, right. They kind of saw it starting to play out. They knew they were going to bring Piper in. They knew this was going to be the drama. Then when they're because like they must do interviews where they're like, here's who I would fuck. Here's who I would date, right? So then when they saw, oh, this is interesting. Dr. Joe, only famous for being friends with Brendan after the fact. We don't remember from the season at all. Let's send him in, but they're not allowed to tell you what's been going on. So he's not going to know what's going on. It just turns out that she's on his list. Let's just see what happens. Like, I don't think they were like, let's fuck Natasha this season. She's going to be our fucking scapegoat of the season. But I do think that like any opportunity that they have for just sordid moral drama between friends or, you know what I mean? Like any kind of like interpersonal backstabbing that they can latch onto, they are
facilitate.
Going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to see it because honestly, otherwise it has been, I mean, even to bring in Demi the way they did and this has been an uneventful season to say the least. I mean, I'm into it. It is my first Paradise season, but like, are all the seasons this vanilla?
No. And I get what you're saying. Cause there was like a good amount of drama except this episode, but yet the stakes don't feel that high because I don't feel that most of these people are genuinely into each other.
Right.
So it feels like they're very naturally just ditching each other and going with the next person. And it's kind of like, does something have to do with this where we're in a post-pandemic world and all these people are just happy to be on the beach chatting with their friends and, you know, if they fall in love, whatever, but also they haven't been on the market since they've been on the show. So really, do they really want to get attached?
There's a whole lot of them are so young that it's like, not only have they not had their Saturn returns yet, but like, right. I mean, that's where it's like, look, Brendan and Piper, uncool, should have been more conscious of the cameras, should not have been such liars after the fact, and should have just been nothing but apologetic and embarrassed or whatever. But forgive them, people. Everyone's there for the wrong reasons. Everyone's there. Maybe pure of heart, Virgo, Moon, grocery store Joe, who was not an applicant to The Bachelor, but merely discovered in the grocery store, hence his nickname, is actually like, I'm on a journey. And they, you know, I was whisked into this world and I actually am looking for love and looking for someone to come to Chicago with me. The other thing I want to say about Joe and Serena is that she is from Canada,
right?
Much closer to Chicago, you know, than Southern California.
And more similar, like, climate
vibe. Wise. It's not so, that would be, she's like, oh yeah, we all wear coats.
Yeah. She's like, oh, Chicago. I heard that's so warm this time of year.
Right. She thinks that it's like bathing suit weather all the time. And she's like, that's not going to faze her. Whereas Kendall's like, my bikini is my uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
And she looks great in it, you know, but yeah, I think Serena in a parka, much more comfortable.
100%. I think they're going to go places.
Yeah, I think they're right. Gonna, I think there's going to, okay, you go to bed. Goodbye. Where can people follow you? How can people follow you? What are we going to look forward to next app?
Follow me at CaseyDia1. Sarah will probably tag me in her story post as well as all the Bachelor people. Follow me there on Instagram. And what are we looking forward to next week? Next week is the semifinals.
Penultimate episode.
Yeah, penultimate. I can't believe we still have like 4 more hours left of the show to watch.
No. What else could we, I mean, are they going to still be throwing people in the mix to the very end?
Apparently, but like, just stop at this point, but I think they will. Yeah. I think they will.
Wow.
And then I guess they'll do an after the final rose as well, which is always one of my personal favorites because
then you
get the updated version of what's been going on.
Everybody's beards come out the closet.
Yeah.
Everyone's
can't wait.
But show beard is everyone's proud to display their new facial hair.
Yes. That's a thing.
Last thing, speaking of which, Matt James, Dancing with the Stars, knocked it out of the park.
Knocked it out of the park.
Way
amazing.
To go, Matt. Way to go.
A joy
Matt.
To watch. A joy to behold.
Okay, that's fabulous. Right. Good night, everybody.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.